Good afternoon. It's Tuesday. It is Election Day in America. You know, we have a lot of Election Days on Saturdays. Now, it's kind of unique. They don't have Saturday elections everywhere, but I'm kind of used to going to the polls on Saturday because, again, in our state, we have a lot of elections on Saturdays. And I made a big mistake in going to vote today. I went out at 7:30 this morning to go vote in my area. And the one thing that I didn't take into consideration was all the school zones that I'd have to drive through. So yeah, it took me longer than I thought to actually get to the polling place, but I had no trouble voting at all. There were a number of tables where I vote in Lakeview. There are a number of tables in this gymnasium of the school, and I have never had to wait voting. I mean, there was one person in front of me, and so it might have taken me 10 minutes to vote. So, again, the only problem that I had in voting was slowing down for the school zones getting to the polling place. If you want to share your voting experience with us, what was it like? Was it crowded? Was it not crowded? Any problems? You know, you just heard in our news that there is a 600-feet zone around the polling places. And within 600 feet, you cannot have a Trump or Harris a T-shirt or cap or any of that kind of stuff. You can't have any campaign paraphernalia. Anything with a candidate's name on it is not allowed within 600 feet. Now, I'm sure somewhere somebody's going to get PO'd and say, you know, it's my right to wear this. I'm going to wear it. And there could be an incident. But that's not going to be the case with most people and most places. But there are going to be a few boneheads out there who are going to say, I have a right to wear this. No, actually, you don't have a right to wear it. And I also thought it was interesting that Donald Trump said, we appear to be leading by a substantial lead, or we have a substantial lead. Donald Trump doesn't know that. This is all part of the plan to declare victory, even if he loses, or even if he's behind, to declare victory. And then if he declares victory, then if he loses, then he'll come back and say, well, you see, we won the election, and then they found these ballots, that they found these votes at the last minute, and we lost. It's part of the strategy. So, you know, this is not anti-Trump. This is pro-truth. You know, we're just being prepared for that because it's going to happen. And he might even declare victory very early. So, again, giving the impression that you have won before the votes are counted doesn't mean you've won. And it doesn't mean that if you end up losing that they found illegal votes. But again, this is what a lot of people are going to use. And if you listen to this show, you're going to find out that this is what some people are going to be saying. I want this to be a very balanced show today, but I can't guarantee. There are a few things that we do have to cover. And I wrote a blog, which is posted on our website, WWL.com. You can also find it on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And hey, if you haven't become part of that, there are a lot of very exciting, shall I say, conversations going on. And I love when some of you comment on some of the posts to some of the things that I post on SOTA Facebook. So if you haven't joined us, become part of that. It's Scoot on the Air Facebook. It's an extension of our show here on WWL. But today I wrote a blog about Election Day in America and the words of Ronald Reagan. And I went back and I looked at a speech that Ronald Reagan gave on the eve of Election Day, 1980, that he was a Republican candidate. And we're going to talk about this on the show this afternoon. I want to contrast that to where we are today, especially for some of the Xers, but mainly the millennials and the Gen Zers, the Zoomers, who don't know what it's like to have more of a positive campaign. Look, negative campaigning is part of politics. But the way it's gotten now, it's ugly beyond belief. I mean, some of the things that we have talked about in this campaign, some of the obscene gestures, some of the obscene words, some of the things that have been discussed, it's not always like this. So for those of you who are millennials and Zoomers, don't always expect elections to be this exciting. And I'd love to talk to anybody who voted for the first time. How do you feel? How did you feel voting for the very first time? And I don't care how old you are. You know, Rush Limbaugh admitted on the air that he never voted until he was 35 years old. The first time Limbaugh voted was when he was 35. So he was a, you know, he was a born again political activist. He wasn't always political in his life. If the first time he voted was at the age of 35. So if you're 18 or if you're 21 or whatever age you are, maybe you're 25 and you voted for the first time. I'd love to talk to you this afternoon if today was the day or if you voted early, if this is the first election you voted in, and how did you feel? And if we want to talk about who's going to win, let's talk about that as well. Who do you think's going to win and why? What lets you think that Kamala Harris is going to beat Donald Trump? What lets you think Donald Trump is going to beat Kamala Harris? If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Ian Hocus, our senior producer at the controls in the other studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. How are you?
Good. Election day. Did you vote early?
No, I like to vote on election day. I voted this morning.
Yeah.
I got my sticker.
Okay, I didn't see it. Yeah, I got my sticker too.
Yeah.
I voted this morning as well. Any problems voting?
No. It was the first time voting at that precinct since I moved into the quarter, so it's kind of a little bit of a learning curve for me. But yeah, no problems. No wait, no issues, no nothing.
Man, where I vote in Lakeview, I'm going to say there are 20 tables. Like there's 10 inside the gymnasium. There's like maybe, I'm just guessing, 10 tables on one side and 10 tables on the other side. And again, there was one person in front of me. I did not see a line really at any of the tables. So in Lakeview, in the precinct that I vote in, there was no problem voting. As I just said at the beginning, the only problem that I had was slowing down, going through the school zones, getting to the voting place. But no problem at all, and no issues. I'm sure there are going to be some issues, and there are going to be some aggressive people who want to commit acts of violence. They're interested in that activity. That's the way they define themselves. And there could be some skirmishes and some problems. But let's remember that the news tends to focus on those things that are out of the ordinary, those things that are outrageous. And those things are going to get in the news. But remember, they don't define America. They don't define who we all are collectively as a country. So, yeah, there's going to be those things that come up. And, you know, we can get together, and I don't care who you vote for. I would hope that if you're listening to this show, that you would denounce any form of violence, especially now. I mean, we don't know who's going to win. And Donald Trump and the MAGAites can say whatever they want about thinking they've got some kind of substantial lead. They can say whatever they want about voter fraud, about cheating. In fact, imagine the irony. If Donald Trump lays the groundwork for losing and he talks about voter fraud now, before anything has been done, he's talking about voter fraud now. What if he wins? Should the Harris people come back and say, well, you know, there was fraud. You talked about the fraud. Donald Trump, you mentioned fraud before the election. So you won. There's voter fraud. You brought it up. We're going to look into it. That's why this is just so insane. It's a game. It's a mind game that politicians are playing with you, the American people. All right, before we get to our first break, let's go to a couple of the early text messages.
Some people are saying, hey, aren't schools closed today? Public schools, anyway. Another text says, hey, schools are closed. Another person says, hey, you notice you don't see any school buses out. Not every single school is closed. The schools that are being used as a polling place are closed, but there are other schools that are in session today.
Yeah, I saw a lot of parents bringing their kids to school today outside of the precinct. I couldn't tell whether the school was in session because there were a lot of cars parked around the school that I voted in. So I don't know. But look, you know, if it says school zone, you know, if I'm not sure school's out, guess what? I'm going to drive 20 miles an hour. I mean, what's the worst thing that can happen? I don't get a ticket, and it takes me a little longer to get to the voting place. So, you know, I went with the side of caution and drove 20 miles an hour through school zones, whether the schools were in session or not.
Here's a text that says, remember, the 5th of November. Tonight, I'm skipping election coverage, and me and my friends will be watching V for Vendetta. Depending on who wins, that could be an appropriate film to watch.
Yeah, obviously. And, you know, and some people are going to choose entertainment over the stress of watching. To me, a political junkie, this is a little bit like the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm looking for snacks tonight. I mean, I'm looking forward to sitting down and watching these results. And, you know, if you enjoy adult beverages, you might want to do a pitcher of margaritas or maybe a pitcher of martinis and, you know, get ready and watch the coverage tonight. We might not know tonight, but you know, there were those who were predicting that there could be an electoral landslide, which is going to make the winner quite obvious very early on. So we might know, but we might not know tonight.
And here's one that says, in 12 hours, half the country is going to be happy and the country is saved and the other half is going to be devastated and the country is coming to an end. But I'll be sound asleep knowing no politician gives a F about us.
Yeah, well, that's the sad truth. And we've talked often on this show about how we are going to survive this and we're going to get through this. No matter who wins, we're going to get through this. It's going to be okay, America. It's going to be okay. It might be ugly at times, but it's going to be okay. And no matter who wins, you know, again, every election that has taken place, a big part of the country is not happy. A big part of the country is happy. This is going to be nothing new. This happens in every election. I don't think there's ever been an election where everybody's happy. So let's not look at this as another reason to divide us, because we've always been divided along the idea that one wins and one loses.
I also reject the idea that no politician gives a F about anyone anywhere. People have this expectation that politicians have to be perfect all the time. They have to keep every single promise and that they're not human. There are politicians out there, maybe not, you know, the sort of big fancy ones, your governors and your senators and your presidents. But, you know, you have to take the broader view of what politics is. The people that represent you in the state house, the people that represent you in city council, those are politicians. And many of them do give a F about you. Maybe not every single one, maybe not to the degree that you want, but I don't think you need to be quite so cynical.
Well, I appreciate the cynicism on a national level, but I think you're right, because a lot of people who run for state representative, a lot of people who run for city council, or Jefferson Parish Council, you know, these people do actually care about people. You know, they're politicians technically, but I would agree with Ian, they do care. But on a national level, I think it's pretty safe to say that collectively, those who run for president, House of Representatives, and the Senate, they really don't care about anything except themselves and securing their own sense of power and money.
I'll leave you with this one. Voting today, I left for work early this morning in East Baton Rouge Parish. I showed up to find that they delivered the wrong machines to my precinct, so I had to go to work. Hopefully I get enough time after work to cast my vote. What a damn shame.
Yeah, you know, that's a pretty big mistake, and shame on them for making that mistake. But look, here's the good news. They noticed the mistake, they corrected the mistake, and remember, if you are in line by 8 o'clock, you're going to be allowed to vote. So I hope you can get off work, and I hope it doesn't take too long. Sorry for the inconvenience, but, you know, the election workers and people who do these things, like deliver voting machines, they're human, too. And you know, you make mistakes in life. They make mistakes in life. So don't look at this mistake and go, well, I'm not even going to vote. And it doesn't sound like you have that attitude. So I hope you do get out and vote. We're going to start to get to some of your calls coming up. I guess you heard in the news that the Saints are trading the Honey Bun. He used to be known as the Honey Badger, but over the years he's become kind of soft and warm. So the Honey Bun is going to the Commanders. And I don't know about you, but I don't care. All right. If you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Some of your calls are coming up. And I want to talk about Election Day in America. But I also want to remind us of the words of Ronald Reagan on the eve of Election Day in 1980. That's coming up. I'm Scoot on WWL. Okay, wait a minute. They traded Lattimore.
Yes.
I guess it was wishful thinking on my part. All right, Marshawn Lattimore, Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah, they sound the same in my head. Anyway, okay, so we still have the Honey Bun. He's still soft and warm. All right, I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. And that's what we do on Election Day in America. We get up and we stand up. And you know, I love the promo from the NFL players who talk about how you come see us in the rain, in the cold, in the snow. You come see us no matter what the conditions are. But you stay home and you don't vote. So no matter what the conditions are on any election day, you should still get out and vote. If you really need something at the store, if you're out of liquor, you will go out in the rain to get that liquor. But will you go out in the rain and vote? Now, today, the weather through this part of the country is great. But just remember that things don't have to be perfect for you to be motivated to get out and vote. It is Election Day in America, but it feels more like America is ramping up to watch a heavyweight fight with words in place of punches. especially for millennials and Gen Z, this is no ordinary election. And while it may be exciting, there are aspects of this election cycle that defy what it means to be a true patriotic American. We know our country was built on sharp division, but the violence that was part of establishing America was relative to those times. The verbal violence and the threats of physical violence over the outcome of a modern-day election are unique and unsettling in America in 2024. In America, we have lost our sense of freedom to vote for the candidate of our choice. It's not by accident that there are curtains or dividers at polling places. Who you vote for has long been seen as a private act. Of course, people always have the freedom to brag about who they voted for and who they think you should vote for. But today, who you vote for is seen as an identification badge as to who you are. And every American has to show that. No, they don't. Voting is private. And there's been some controversy about, you know, wives not telling their husbands who they're voting for. If you're a wife, that's between you and your husband. But even among couples, it's still a private matter. Politics has always been competitive. But since Barack Obama became the presidential candidate in the United States, political competition has evolved into a war of words and threats of violence. This is not the America I grew up in. It's not the America we should be proud of. And while lying is actually legal in political ads, the lies have ramped up into words that lead to violence. Vice President Kamala Harris lies about the border, economic statistics, and about the country as she sees it. Former President Donald Trump tells lies that are based in fantasy land that have led to negative actions, from Haitian immigrants stealing and eating Americans' pets to a proactive strategy that the election is already stolen with zero evidence to support either lie, or the countless other lies that have been concocted during the campaign. But the point is, both candidates lie, as every candidate has done before them. What is disheartening about this election cycle is the acceptance by many Americans to believe ridiculous lies and to actually defend those lies. Our civilized society, or should I say, our alleged civilized society, has always been based on a common acceptance of the facts, the truth. When each side has a false set of facts that predicate every decision that they make, and we're not agreeing on just the facts of the truth, how can we have a civilized society? Donald Trump has suggested more than once that he may refuse to leave office if he wins. Like his challenge to the 2020 election results, when Trump tried to change democracy in favor of an autocratic leadership, the idea that a president who loses an election, refusing to leave office, is a gross violation of the Constitution and everything that is admired around the world about America. But if Trump wins and sets up the presidency in such a way that he refuses to leave when his 4 years are up, there will be ways to physically remove his body from the White House. It might make January 6th look like a picnic, but let's hope that it doesn't come down to that. And let's hope that Donald Trump is just rambling, and that he really will leave office if he wins when his 4 years are up. The truth is that many Americans are voting for Donald Trump not because they agree with his nonsensical ramblings, but because they trust his handling of the border and the economy, and they see him as a reluctant alternative to Vice President Kamala Harris. I get that. In fact, I have never told anybody not to vote for Donald Trump. There are also many Americans who are voting for Kamala Harris, not because she really can be trusted or not because they really like her, but because Donald Trump is Donald Trump and she's not Donald Trump. I remember elections where people voted for candidates because of the positives they represented. This election is more about voting for the lesser of two evils, and that's sad. On this election day in 2024, at the end of a campaign season that has been littered with lies and comments that were obscene beyond recognition, I want to take you back to the words of Ronald Reagan. This is a message that Ronald Reagan delivered. This is part of the message. On the eve of Election Day, 1980. And let's look back with the hope that one day maybe we can divorce the ugliness and start a new life with a positive view of ourselves and our country. Here's what Ronald Reagan said at the end of his speech, the eve of Election Day, 1980. Compare this to what we've heard at the end of this campaign. It is autumn now in Washington, and the residents there say that they are more than ever during the past few years that they are seeing Americans come to visit their capital. Some say because economic conditions rule out a more expensive vacation elsewhere. Some say an election year has heightened interest in the workings of national government. Others say something different. In a time when our values, when our place in history is so severely questioned, they say Americans want their sons and daughters to see what is still for them and for so many others, millions around the world, a city offering the last best hope for man on earth. You can see them, these Washington visitors, looking for the famous as they walk through the congressional hallways. You see them as they return silent and tight-lipped to tour buses that brought them for a walk through the rows of white crosses at Arlington Cemetery. You see them as they look up at the towering statue of Jefferson, or out to the top of the Washington Monument, or as they read the words inscribed at the Lincoln Memorial. Let us bind up the national wounds. These visitors to that city on the Potomac do not come as white or black, red or yellow. They are not Jews or Christians, conservatives or liberals, or Democrats or Republicans. They are Americans, awed by what has been gone before, proud of what for them is still a shining city on a hill. At this very moment, some young Americans coming along the Virginia and Maryland shores of the Potomac are seeing for the first time the lights that glow on the great halls of our government and the moments to memory of a great man. Let us resolve tonight that young Americans will always see these Potomac lights, that they will always find there a city of hope in a country that is free. Let us resolve they will say that our day and our generation, that we did have faith with our God, that we did act worthy of ourselves, and we did protect and pass on lovingly that shining city on a hill. That's how Ronald Reagan ended his campaign in 1980. Compare that to what we have seen at the end of this campaign. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunar Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to some of your calls. Let's go to LaPlace. Nolan, you're on WWL. Good afternoon. Hello, yes, Nolan. Hey.
Yeah, I was calling. I heard one of your comments earlier. You said that we're voting for the lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
I totally disagree with that comment because I don't see anywhere where Kamala has said the things that Trump has said, the thing that degrades our country, people that come to this country, women. She hasn't done any of that. So I don't understand the comment we're voting for the lesser of two evils. She has been a straight shooting person. She has been polite. She has not discriminated against anyone, any race. She hasn't said things that are unethical or evil. So I don't understand that comment. Help me.
Well, Nolan, in the minds of those people who are Trump supporters, she is evil, as Donald Trump has said. And they see her as evil because she is a Democrat. I understand the point that you're making, but In this election cycle of 2024, both sides are seen by the other side as evil, as a threat to democracy. And I think that's sad. If you want to join us with a comment, the Okunar Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. And if you're on hold, hang on. We'll get to more of your texts coming up, but more of your calls are coming up next. I'm Scoot. It's Election Day, America, on WWL. It's Election Day 2024. I'm Scoot on the air. I hope you have voted or you plan on voting today. Let's get right back to some of your calls. Let's go to Richard in New Orleans. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. I just want to add a couple of things. And Well, I'm not an expert, you know, like I always say, on nothing, but I know a little bit about a lot of things. I think abortion is going to be the number one economic reason. You're talking about the economy. Abortion is so important to whether you should start a family or not. So I think that's going to be the number one economic reason. Yeah, economy going to be up there, but the economy is doing good. Some people personally, the economy may not be doing good. But as you see, the women, independent, Gen Z, they will help Mama Kamala continue to solidify the blue wall, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. And my Kanaki, I'm also looking at this. If it's true in Iowa, as people are indicating, with Ann Salter's polling, who's very and renowned, well, I got to look at Kansas. We got to look at Kansas. We got to look at North Carolina, Nevada, and Georgia. I think all those in place. So that's letting me know, as a person who is following this stuff, that she's not just going to beat him. It's going to be a landslide.
Bichard, you're predicting a landslide.
Yeah. Yeah, and just the other thing, we got to remember this. If a person say they're against crime, and that's going to be part of what's going on in this election, you got a convicted felon and a prosecutor. So the lesser of two evils, talking about she's the lesser of two evils, she's fighting crime. There's no evil there. And the criminal is the one that's the evil. So that's how I see that. So I got to also question about that lesser to evil. Plus, I know for a fact I'm voting for something. And I'm voting to protect my wife, you know, of 27 years, married 24. I'm protecting my daughter. Matter of fact, she's pregnant right now, told me. Daddy, I got another one coming. It's going to be a girl. I already got three. I said, well, you might as well go have number five, baby, so you have a basketball team.
All right. Rashard, listen, I'm glad you had a chance to call the show, and I hope you voted or you plan on voting. Let's go to Baton Rouge. Kyle, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scoop. I'm going to tell you, my friend, your boy that just called, not only is he speaking the truth, I'm going to make my predictions for you. Okay, you ready?
Okay.
Get ready, because here it comes. Kamala is going to win all of the swing states. She's already won them, actually, by the voter turnout that's already happened. She's already won North Carolina, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. That's hers. She's going to win Arizona. She may lose Nevada. I'm going to give that to Trump. But not only is she going to do that, she's going to win Florida. She's going to win Iowa. She's going to win Missouri. She's going to win Montana. She's going to win the popular vote by at least 22 million votes. My prediction is that Kamala Harris will have 87 million votes, and Donald Trump will have somewhere just shy of 65 million votes at most.
Wow. Another caller predicting a landslide for Kamala Harris. The caller's from Baton Rouge. It's amazing how many callers we get from Baton Rouge who are not conservative. Let's go to Joe in Metairie. Joe, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yeah, Scoot. Them last two callers, they need to go see psychiatrists. But my comment today is about four local disgraceful, disgusting, liberal Democrats, starting with James Carville, a disgrace to LSU, Louisiana, and the Marine Corps. I'm going to stick to the other white guy, Vich Landrieu, who, when Tampon Tim was selected by Kamala, he was on CNN bragging about the guy, knowing nothing about the man. Thirdly, my next comment is on Cedric Richmond, who was an advisor to Biden and to Kamala, went to Camp David with Biden to advise him, and he's on the advisory committee right now for Kamala. Well, I want to make a note to Cedric and to Bitch Landrew. When Trump gets in office, don't call Sidney Torres as Ivy Waste looking for a job. Do not call him. There's no jobs open for y'all.
Joe,
and
if,
my last comment is to Mark Morial, a disgrace for letting Al Sharpton come to his mother's funeral. An absolute disgrace. That's what I got to say about these four local politicians.
Joe, I'm glad this show gave you an opportunity to say those things. And Joe, I wonder if Trump loses, are you going to call the show tomorrow? That's going to be interesting. Let's go to Janice in New Orleans. Hey, Janice, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello, Scoot. I wanted to say that gentleman that called a couple of calls ago, he was speaking about protecting his wife and his children or grandchildren, and I mean, I agree with him. I'm down with that. I understand he wouldn't want anything bad to happen to them, nor would I. But Kamala Harris does not want to build the wall. I saw something last night that's very upsetting. And people need to think about this because it's happening all over the country. He has two good reasons to vote for Donald Trump. An illegal migrant was arrested for allegedly raping a 5-year-old girl in New York. An illegal migrant charged with raping an 11-year-old girl in Florida. And those are only two examples of what's going on in this country, not to mention the two 18-year-olds that were hit by the drunk driver and the guy that worked at WGNO-TV. And, I mean, these are things. There's so much in the world, in our country, that we don't even know about. A mother of five was killed. I mean, all kinds of bad stuff is going on, and we need the man who wants to protect this country. That would be Donald Trump. And he was president before, and he didn't stay. And he left when it was time to leave. I do not believe that this man would not leave. You know, the left is saying all kinds of crazy stuff. Oh, he wants to cut your Medicare. He wants to do this. He wants to do that. Yeah, every time there's an election like this, they always say that kind of stuff because they want to scare the old people and make you believe all this. Well, it's all a bunch of BS. And if you care about your family, you care about your country, please vote Donald J. Trump. Don't vote for his personality because I will admit myself that sometimes it's not the greatest, okay? But I am looking at his policies, what he wants to do for the country.
Janice, I think it's really fascinating that people like you don't believe Donald Trump. I mean, he says things and you don't even believe what he says. So why should I believe what Donald Trump says? I mean, Donald Trump says, maybe I shouldn't have left office. And then there was the whole January the 6th thing. So I guess I shouldn't believe anything that he says. You know, you can't pick and choose whether or not you believe somebody. If you don't believe that he wants to stay in office, then, okay, that's your choice on Election Day. Understand that. And by the way, Janice never calls in when Americans rape and kill Americans, which is much more often. I'm not justifying what illegal immigrants do. I'm not justifying that at all. But Janice never calls in when it's in the news that an American has raped a young person or an American has killed another person. Also, why does nobody bring up illegal immigrants raping and killing people when Trump was president? Did that not happen? Do illegal immigrants only kill when a Democrat's in the White House? All right, if you've got a comment, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. Sometimes it seems like this whole thing that we're living through right now is just, you know, make-believe. The problem is, it's not make-believe. It's real. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. We're going to get to your calls. I got a text from somebody who said they can't get through. Just keep trying. It's Election Day, so did you vote? How was it voting? Is this the first time you're voting? And how did that feel? And who do you think's going to win? And why? The blog that I wrote, remembering the wise words of Ronald Reagan on the eve of the 1980 election, is posted now on our website. Also, it's on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. I'll share some of your comments coming up. We'll be right back on WWL.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Good afternoon. It is Election Day in America. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us. Every one of our phone lines is lit up. We've got texts pouring in. When we start getting to your calls, make your point. You know, take your time. Make your full point. But just be as brief as you can so we can get to as many people as possible. And I know our phones are going to be jammed all afternoon. We do want to get to as many people as possible. A Georgia judge in Atlanta said that he is rejecting a Republican lawsuit that was trying to block counties from opening election offices on Saturday and Sunday to let voters hand in their mail-in ballots in person. So, you know, I guess that's an opportunity for some controversy. We're heading into, you know, just the final moments. There are people who still have not voted, and everybody has the freedom to vote for who they want to vote for. And by the way, I have never told anybody on this show not to vote for Donald Trump. You vote for who you want to vote for. We're hearing from Donald Trump and Kamala Harris in the last few hours before the voting comes to an end.
So how are the candidates feeling as this election draws to a close?
I am feeling great.
We've been waiting for 4 years for this. 4 years.
Can you feel it? We have momentum, right?
With your vote on Tuesday, I will end inflation. I will stop the invasion of massive numbers of criminals coming into our country. Thank you very much, Kamala and Joe.
We are ready for a president who knows the true measure of a leader is not based on who you beat down. It is based on who you lift up.
And in a presidential contest that experts say could not be closer, the first votes cast on Election Day in tiny Dixville Notch, New Hampshire, were evenly split, 3 for Donald Trump and 3 for Kamala Harris. I'm Rita Foley.
Yeah, I was watching that live last night. It's quite fascinating to see that first place that opens up the polls just after midnight on Election Day. All right, so Kamala Harris on the campaign trail says she wants everybody in America to have a chance at success.
My approach is about recognizing the dignity in all people, but not everyone has access to the opportunity to live their ambitions and dreams. And I believe in giving people access to opportunity so they can soar.
And speaking to reporters before he voted in South Florida, former President Donald Trump has got to be tired. I mean, these candidates both have to be tired. And I'll tell you, for Donald Trump's age 78, this guy's got a hell of a lot of energy. Donald Trump was asked just before voting if there could be violence by his supporters if he doesn't win.
My supporters are not violent people. I don't have to tell them that. And I certainly don't want any violence, but I certainly don't have to tell. These are great people. These are people that believe in no violence. Unlike your question, you believe in violence.
That's an interesting answer. All right, let's get to your calls. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us on Election Day. We're talking about voting. Have you voted? How was it? Are you voting for the first time? And what did that feel like? And also, who do you think is going to win and why? Let's go to Lafayette. Charlie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
I have to, first of all, I'll tell you, those last four callers were entertaining as hell. I just want to let you know. I think, you know, they just should not sugarcoat. They need to tell us how they really feel. You know, but in all honesty, I had a friend of mine said, there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans. And I say, no, I disagree. In 2000 and 2016, the loser conceded. We had a peaceful transfer of power. And January 6th, 2001 and 17 was just like any other day. In 2020, the loser never conceded. We did not really have a peaceful transfer of power, though it was forced. And the winner stood by while a capital was under attack. And I said, there's your difference. And to the lady that was on there, you know, and I think it's terrible when these young children get rape like that, no matter who it's by, a citizen or an illegal alien or whoever does it. But the one thing I will say, the hypocrisy of the right, if let's say a 10 or 11-year-old girl gets raped by a legal alien, they will expect in certain states on the right that for that 11-year-old to carry that pregnancy to term. So there's a lot of hypocrisy in this, and I just want to see divided government when this is all over. And I just want to see people. Where is Abraham Lincoln when we need him?
Well, he's not here. Charlie, I'm glad you called. And, you know, I like the idea of divided government. And that doesn't mean like, you know, divided, like America's divided. But Charlie's talking about if a Democrat wins the White House, then Republicans control Capitol Hill. If Republicans are in the White House, then Democrats control Capitol Hill. I think in some ways, you know, even though nothing gets done, that's a problem. Nothing gets done. I like the concept of government divided, but, you know, maybe in some ways it's better if one party gets the full run of it, and then we can either applaud them or blame them for what happens or what doesn't happen. Let's go to Steve in Mississippi. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot. Just wanted to say this lecture reminded me of an old saying. I'm sure you've heard it before. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me three times, want to buy some gold shoes? Or maybe an NFT with me as a superhero? Or a $100,000 watch? Or a Bible made in China? I'm sure you've heard that before.
Yeah, I have, and we're reminded of it by you.
All right. Have a good one. Get on to the people waiting in line.
All right, Steve. Glad you called. Let's go to Stan in Slidell. Hey, Stan.
Hey, how you doing, Scoop?
Good.
I'm looking at this, and I'm hoping, you know, as Americans, we can see that these two candidates, we're actually hiring them for the highest position in America, and it's a job. So if you're the interviewer, you should ask for a background, and when he tells you or she tells you, hey, I got 34 counts of indictments against me, that right there should raise a flag and say, hey, thank you for applying. Don't call us. We'll call you. And it's just crazy to me that folks would look the other way on these things and say, well, he'll be okay for us. And it boggles the mind with me.
Stan, you know, that's interesting because, you know, there's one side that says, man, I mean, 32 counts. You've been found guilty of 32 felony counts. What the hell are you doing running for office? Well, right here in the New Orleans area, we have we've seen felons get elected, and it can happen. To one side, it really matters. To the other side, it's like, well, it was all set up. It was kind of fake. It really was not. It wasn't a fair trial, even though there was a jury of Donald Trump's peers that made that decision. You know, depending on where your political ideology lies, you decide whether or not the system of justice is fair. And so, again, therein lies the lack of respect for the facts, which I brought up in the blog that I wrote, which is posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Now, I'm going to share some of your comments from the SOTA Facebook page. It's titled, Remember Ronald Reagan's Words Before the 1980 Election. And I go through the blog, and at the end, I close out by reminding us of Ronald Reagan's words on the eve of the election, 1980. And I brought this up with the hope that maybe one day we get back to that. But I brought up Ronald Reagan's words on the eve of the election of 1980 just to remind us of how different it is today and how much we have progressed into political darkness. Larry is on the road. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
Good.
I got a few things I want to say right quick.
Okay.
And first of all, there's a reason why I don't care for Donald Trump being president is the fact that you got a guy who called and say Mark Morial is a disgrace because Al Sharpton shows up to his mother's funeral. You got another lady who calls and put down migrants because four or five migrants, maybe 10, out of all the millions that done come over here, did a few things wrong. Then you got a president, a guy who wants to be president, who claims, talks about this when the wall should have been built 4 years ago. And there's a scripture in the Bible says, so is a man thinketh, so is he. A cheater always claiming somebody else is cheating. That's why he called Georgia to say, Georgia, give me some extra votes. He's the cheater, so he thinks somebody else is always cheating.
You know, see, this is a really good point. You know, I believe that people who cheat on their spouses are really skeptical and very jealous of their spouse because they think if they've done it, their spouse is doing it too. And I think there is something to that. People who cheat think everybody else is a cheater too. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. I'm Scoot on the air. We're coming back with more of your comments. The Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. It's Election Day 2024. More of your calls coming up next on WWL. You know, for all of those of you who talk about term limits, I remind you that every election day, you have the power to limit the terms of politicians. Do you do it? No. You continue to vote in your guy or your woman because you believe that they have power because of their seniority. So, you know, the American people don't really want term limits because every election day we can vote them out. But we keep voting in the same people. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. There is no reason to believe that this is not going to be a fair and free election, just like 2020. No reason to believe that whatsoever. And it's fascinating that the groundwork is already being laid for this being a fraudulent election. What if Trump wins? Should the Harris people say, well, wait a minute, you talked about election fraud. You won. We're going to investigate election fraud. I don't understand the wisdom in declaring this. Well, I guess I do. I guess it's because Donald Trump might think he's going to lose. But we don't know who's going to win. And are the polls accurate? We'll know tomorrow whether or not the polls were accurate. And have you voted? Have you voted for the first time? What did that feel like? I remember the first time I voted. And I was very, very proud. I turned 18. I voted in the next election. And I was damn proud to be voting. And I have to tell you that when I went to vote earlier today, I was as proud to be voting at this point in my life. Having voted all these many, many years, over and over and over again, I have not lost that feeling of what it feels like to vote as a patriotic American citizen. You know, this is a system that is admired around the world. And look what we have done as a country, not all of us, but look what some people have done in this country to try and jeopardize the image that we have of a fair and free election. And a lot of this could be at the hands of the Russians, who were trying to create this idea that it's not a fair and free election. And some of the bogus information that you receive about some voter irregularity, sometimes that could be coming from Russians. If you want to join us, the Okunard Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. More of your calls coming up, more of your texts coming up. Kamala Harris says that she wants everybody to be happy. She also said in an appearance on the Big Tigger Morning Show on V103, this was this morning, she said that she was asked if she has any thoughts on the history that will be made if she wins.
I've just been so focused on the task in front of me. The reflection has only been about making sure that I'm responding to the needs of folks around the policies. So, we got to get it done.
You know, I understand history. I understand, like, the first woman to do something or the first African-American to do something. I understand the historic value of that. But I think as a country, we really need to focus more on just the person. Just the person. Who is the person? And at some point, we're going to get around not always focusing on gender and race and just focus on the person. Donald Trump was asked about the chance that neither candidate will have enough electoral votes to win tonight.
A thing like that should never happen. This election should be over. They spend all this money on machines. And frankly, if they'd use paper ballots, it would be over by 10 o'clock.
Wait a minute. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that doesn't have anything to do with it. The machines could be working perfectly well, and this could be an electoral tie. It would be an electoral tie because of the votes people cast. So Donald Trump is totally off on this. The fact that this might be an electoral tie, I doubt that it will be, but if it is, that has nothing to do with the machines. All right, let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
Here's a text that says, Donald Trump goes 70-plus years with no indictments at all, and all of a sudden he has indictments the last 8 years. That's what doesn't make sense to me. He didn't just up and change.
Well, no, but when you're president and when you're a former president, you know, people are going to look for stuff and they're going to dig stuff up and they're going to find stuff out about you and they may charge you as a result of that. Donald Trump chose to get into this business. Donald Trump chose to be a target. Kamala Harris chose to be a target. If you're a politician, you're a target from the other side. And, you know, you have to be aware of that. And if you have done something wrong or if you do something wrong, there's going to be more scrutiny on you than the average citizen. Whether that's fair or not, that's reality.
I've never been indicted for anything.
Yeah,
I'm 40. If I go out and commit a crime today and am indicted for it, it shouldn't surprise anybody that I went 40 years without. Like, you understand, like, why?
Yeah.
And it's not as if he didn't have any legal issues at all. He got all kind of class action lawsuits for the Trump University thing, discrimination lawsuits going back to the 1970s and 80s, all these business disputes, bankruptcies, tax issues. These were all civil suits. He was never criminally charged with anything. But, you know, disabuse yourself of the idea that Donald Trump, like, never got in trouble for doing anything, you know, untoward or off color before he became president. He absolutely did.
And I'm a lot closer to Trump's age than you are. And I've never been indicted.
Well, if you committed a crime tomorrow and then got indicted right. for it a year from
yeah,
now, no one should wonder why.
You know, and dismissing Donald Trump's indictment issue is to, you know, basically encourage the mistreatment of women. I don't know. It's kind of confusing. But, you know, again, it's the only thing that matters is what you believe.
Here's a text from Paul in Michigan. He says, hey, if a man is so petty that he cheats at golf, can he really be trusted with anything?
Yeah, we heard a lot of cheating stories, although I've heard that Donald Trump has become a really good golfer.
Here's a text. This one's a little bit longer. Stick with me. This one says, I believe the nation's attitude regarding holding the highest office in the land will be looked at differently if Trump wins. And I say this because Harris's statements are based on exaggerations, things that all politicians use to get elected. But Trump's statements are dangerous lies that promote violence, hatred, and division. If Trump is elected, will parents tell their kids that anyone can become president? Because you can be a convicted felon, you can be a sexual abuser, a poor businessman with multiple bankruptcies, and a habitual liar, so you need not be special. Sad.
Yeah, you know, I agree to some degree. The office of the presidency is looked upon differently. And there are those who will not respect the office of the presidency if Kamala Harris is elected. Remember the Republicans who just did not even respect the office of the presidency because Obama won? Oh, well, he didn't deserve it. I mean, he doesn't deserve it. He abuses the Constitution, so I'm not going to respect the office because he doesn't deserve it. But those same people demanded that everybody respect the office because Trump was president. So, again, you know, there is the blatant hypocrisy in America.
A number of people texted in a sort of variation on this text, but I've picked this one out. You know, Janice was, you know, kind of raving at the end of the last hour about how these illegal immigrants have raped people since they've come to America. This text says, hey, tell Miss Janice, has she forgotten? She is voting for a rapist.
Yeah, well, interesting point. But again, in the minds of callers like Janice, in the minds of those people who are supporting Donald Trump, they don't care. Or he's not a rapist in their mind. Being a rapist is subjective. It's not based on the actual act itself. And again, what illegals do is horrible. But why hasn't somebody done a study of the illegals who raped people when Donald Trump was president? This idea that illegals only commit acts of rape and only commit acts of violence against American citizens when a Democrat is in the White House just doesn't hold water for me. Now, I don't have the staff to do this, but it's surprising that somebody has not come up with that information, because I would be certain that there were rapes and murders that took place by illegal immigrants when Trump was president. There were illegal immigrants in America when Trump was president. Did none of them commit any crimes? That's just not believable. From Ocean Springs, Joey, welcome to our show.
How you doing, Scoot? First time caller. Glad to be on the show.
Joey, first time caller. We're going to give you the special treatment today on Election Day. I appreciate you listening over in Ocean Springs. Beautiful area. I love that little quaint area of downtown Ocean Springs with all the shops and stuff. That's really special.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Peter Anderson Festival, man, it's really going.
Yeah. All right, so what has you calling in today?
All right, you got me with your lesser of two evils comment. I think you're wrong there. I just think this cycle, we just have two weak candidates. And what it basically comes down to is moral versus immoral. And to listen to Ms. Janice talking about Trump's policies, he doesn't have policies. He has grievances. That's all he has. I voted for the guy in 2016. I thought the whole apprentice, you're fired thing was pretty cool. And then he showed his character over the next 4 years. And then four more years, he's just deteriorated. He's been a menace to society, a chaos agent. Let's just get it. The Republicans, just hold your nose, let Kamala win, deal with 4 years, then get your stuff together, come up with a better candidate. But if he wins, which I don't think he will, because you can see they leave his rallies early now, I think the show's finally over for him. But if he were to win, Russia, North Korea, Hungary, they all become allies because he worships dictators. So I just think the show's finally over. Right. He said a long time ago, I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and get away with it. Well, for the most part, he has. He's gotten his own followers to dress in garbage bags, for Christ's sake. But I think the show's coming to an end. And just like you said earlier, erase the hate. I'm sick and tired of the hate.
Joey, I really appreciate the call, and thanks for being an FTC. You know, for those of you who sometimes suggest on my Facebook page or in an email or even on the air suggest, well, you know, why are you doing this show? Why are you not a conservative? This is a red area. That call just came in from Ocean Springs, Mississippi. I get calls from Mississippi, from St. Bernard Parish, from Baton Rouge, from down on the bayou, from New Orleans, from St. Tammany Parish, from Jefferson Parish, from all over this entire Plaquemines Parish. I get calls from this entire area from people who are not conservative. And I am very proud that this show has been an alternative and continues to be an alternative to the plethora of right-wing, copycat, conservative shows across this country that do nothing but echo each other. There are very few original thoughts in conservative radio. Very few. The thoughts and what they talk about filters down from a central location, from a few central people who are setting the agenda. And I hear it on this show all the time. If something new hits conservative social media, people start calling up with those exact same words. So I know it's a parroting of the information. So I am damn proud of this show. And even conservatives call into this show and are welcome to this show. But this show has also become a home for people who felt like they were marginalized. They were disenfranchised from the whole talk radio thing because all of talk radio is conservative. No, it's not, and it doesn't have to be. I'm going to take a break here. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back with more of your calls and more of your texts. I am going to get to some of the comments on the SOTA Facebook page. All right. One of the problems that we have is candidates promise us things. They both do. Kamala Harris is promising things she cannot deliver. Donald Trump is promising things he cannot deliver. But people buy into it, and they vote for these people thinking, yes, they're going to give us this. They're going to get, you know, it's all about give the people what they want. The problem is, people, they can't give you what they say they're going to give you. It might be what you want, and you're voting for them because they're going to give this to you. The sad truth is, don't vote for them because you think they're going to give you these promises because they're not. And I guarantee you, Donald Trump is not going to make inflation go away the first day he takes office in January if he wins. I'm Scoot on the air, and we'll be back on WWL. It's Election Day 2024. I'm Scoot on the air. We're going to get to more of your calls here in just a moment. Here are a few comments from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. The blog is about Election Day in America and how we have digressed to this low point in the dark ages of politics. And at the end, I bring up the words of Ronald Reagan when he was talking to his voters in the country on the eve of Election Day, 1980. And that's posted on our website, WWL.com. It's also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. And if you haven't, I hope you'll join us there. Barry says the Democrats called Reagan a fascist, as they've done with every Republican since 1948. You know, Barry, there are always going to be extremists. And, you know, that's not all Democrats. In fact, Ronald Reagan was so popular with Democrats, and you might want to look this up, that there was a term referred to Democrats as Reagan Democrats. That's how popular Ronald Reagan was with the Democrats. In fact, Reagan won because he was popular with the Democrats, because you have to get the other side to vote for you if you want to win. So, Barry, you might want to look that up. Michael says, interesting article showing even Black Lives Matter is not believing Harris's crap. And there's an article link here. Bill says that dude that's referred to in the article, that dude was at a Proud Boys rally last year. No news here. Certainly not any indicator of anything. And then Michael says, I'm sure you have proof of that. And Bill comes back with an article link that apparently sets the record straight on that. Again, you can give us your comment by going to Scoot on the Air Facebook. Let's get back to a few of your calls. Let's go to Michael in Metairie. Michael, good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, first of all, I just want to say that I've been trying cases in federal court for 50 years. And if I walked in next week and I saw the opposing attorney was Ian, my knees would start shaking. He is so brilliant.
Well, thank you. That's a compliment.
What are you laughing at?
No, I'm saying it's a great compliment. I'm not.
Well, it
laughing.
Is, but I don't think it deserved a laugh. But
well,
anyway,
it's not. You know, hey, come on, Michael. It was a chuckle that you would make that comment about Ian. Not that it's
okay,
a bad thing,
I'll,
but just that
I'll
it's out of the
you.
Ordinary. Okay, all right.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
I love Ian. Ian's in the position he's in part because of me. I mean, I made him part of the show because I have confidence in him and because I like what he does.
I wish he was a lawyer. I'd hire him immediately for my firm.
That's a compliment.
Anyway, I want to quote from the most prestigious economic journal in the world. It's called The Economist. Here's the quote. An economy with an unemployment rate of 4% and a per-person GDP of $85,000 does not have to be made great again. It is great. They were talking about the United States under Biden. And by the way, about 4 years ago, a right-wing lady friend of the family, when I told her I was voting for Biden, she says, oh, it's going to be a terrible recession. All my friends tell me it's going to be so bad. All my stocks and my pension plan is going to go to nothing. So I asked her a couple of weeks ago, how's your stocks and your pension plan? Oh, it's the greatest in history. She says it is fabulous now.
Yeah, so I know people that are depending on their 401k plans, and they get really depressed when they're down. A lot of people are really, really up right now. They're still going to vote for Trump, but they can't help but realize there's a little bit of hypocrisy there when they talk about how bad the economy is, because in a lot of ways the economy is booming for a lot of Americans and a lot of Republicans.
How about Trump says if we're going to drill, baby, drill. Guess what? Oil production in America is the highest in history. By the way, I love what you brought about Reagan talking about the fairness doctrine. I didn't even realize that. But I thought it was so appropriate that Reagan against fairness was the perfect metaphor. But here it is. Here's one of the things that in my book on Reagan. The House and the Senate both passed sanctions against South Africans' terrible apartheid policies against the blacks overwhelmingly. And Reagan vetoed it, saying that Nelson Mandela is a terrorist. That's Ronald Reagan, the racist. Guess what happened? He was overturned, that veto, unanimously almost.
Well,
that's kind of person he is. Why you want to quote that guy?
Well, you know, look, I know that that Ronald Reagan was controversial to a lot of people. I get that. But I bring out some positive aspects. There are positive aspects of a lot of people. Not Hitler, but there are positive aspects of a lot of people. And there's some positive things about some of the things that Ronald Reagan said because he had really great speechwriters. Ezra in New Orleans, you're on WWL.
Hey, how you doing? First time caller here.
All right, I've got to give you some treatment here. Getting some first time callers here on Election Day 2024. Did you vote today, Ezra?
I did. I just came back from the polling place. I appreciate the words you said about how important it is for us to take part in this democracy. I'm a young guy. I've only voted in presidential elections against Donald Trump, and I pray to the Lord up above us that this will be the last election that I have to vote against him. Yeah. But what I wanted to call about today was something more local. You know, I've been hearing a lot of folks calling and parroting whatever right-wing entertainer they're listening to, Tucker Carlson, whoever, talking about things that are happening at the border on Florida and New York, but very few people actually talking about our state here in Louisiana. And what I'm most focused on is coastal restoration in the state of our current coast, where we have the fastest land loss in the entire world. And I look at the two candidates here, and you have one candidate who, during his presidency, cut funding for coastal restoration to Louisiana. And then you have another one who passed one of the largest environmental funding bills and has provided funding for our coastal restoration. And so we can talk about anything we want, the economy, immigration, anything like that, but none of this matters if we don't have land beneath our feet. And that should be the number one focus of every voter in South Louisiana here, is the existential threat of sea level rise and coastal land loss that's facing us right now.
Ezra, and it's so, really you know, it's an important issue. It's a very important issue, and I'm glad you brought that up. And go ahead.
Yeah, we've got this Amendment 1, which I would encourage folks to take a look at and vote yes on, which would provide even more funding for our coastal restoration. I'd also strongly urge the governor and his cabinet to please match the funds that our federal government is providing for the Mid-Barataria Bay diversion plan, which would allow us to actually rebuild some of our coasts through natural methods.
Ezra, I'm really glad you called. Thanks for being an FTC, and thanks for voting. All right, we have a fun text-off coming up next. It's Tuesday, time for the Tuesday text-off. I don't think either of these candidates is going to be a real threat to democracy. Okay, it's Tuesday, time for the Tuesday text-off. We've got a fun one today. You know, generally we have song A and song B. One's an original, one's a cover, and we let you, the audience, decide which was better, the original or the cover. Well, we're doing something a little different today. Rick Astley is one of those artists that, you know, sometimes people love to admit that they like his music. So I thought we would do a text-off between two of Rick Astley's biggest hits. Which one of these songs was the better song? They're both good, but which one was the better song? So the text-off is between Rick Astley's two biggest hits. Here is Song A. You know, I have to admit that, you know, I can picture the video where he does that Caucasian dance move. And, you know, sometimes when I dance, I kind of share that Caucasian Rick Astley dance move. I'm not proud of it, but, it comes naturally to me. All right, Never Gonna Give You Up. That is Song A. And here's Song B. So you need to text A or B, depending on which song you think is the better song, A or B to the Oakenheart text line, 504-260-1870, and we'll give you the winners after the news. Here's Song B. All right, which Rick Astley song was better, Song A or Song B? Text A or B, depending on which one you thought was best, to the Oakenheart text line, 504-260-1870. We'll have the results right after the news at 3 o'clock, and we'll play the winner for you. Also, we're going to continue talking about Election Day 2024. Did you vote? Did you vote for the first time? What did that feel like? What was it like voting where you voted? Any problems? And who do you think's going to win? And why? We'll know a lot tonight. We might not know everything, but there are some people who are predicting a landslide in the Electoral College. Do you think that's going to happen? I'm Scoot on the air. A lot still to come as we express our freedom to speak on Election Day 2024. It is Election Day 2024. You know, we have been working our way toward this day for a long time. So many of you, like me, just frustrated with all of the crap that we've had to deal with during this campaign. In some ways, it's been entertaining. It's been exciting. But I'm not really proud of America right now. I'm not proud of really either side. And as I have said many times, I'm not proud of the way one side has degraded this country. And in an effort to make it seem like it's so bad in America, that America is a country that just sucks, they have degraded our country in hopes of winning the election. But I'm here to tell you, as a patriotic American, this is a great country. And I'm still going to be proud to be an American. And I think that you and I, those of us who have the ability to make things better, can make things better. And I think we can continue to call out the lies and not tolerate the lies. Vote for who you want to vote for, but don't tolerate the lies, especially the lies that lead to problems. I talk about where we are as a nation in the blog that I wrote. And in the blog that I wrote, in contrast to the way things are today, I end it by sharing those words from Ronald Reagan that he spoke to his voters and the country on the eve of Election Day 1980. And I want to share those with you again. It's part of my blog. But think about the stuff that's been said. Think about the things that we've talked about. The mocking of oral sex with a microphone, the stories, the ridiculous fantasy stories about immigrants eating pets and stories about killing babies after they've been born. None of it is true. The idea that there's election fraud going on has not been established in any way, shape, or form. And so I think about how we have ventured into the darkness of politics. These are the dark ages of politics. So I want to take you back for just a moment. I did this earlier, but even if you heard it before, and even if you've heard it before in your life, it's worth remembering what it used to be like. And I especially do this for millennials, some Xers, but mainly millennials and Zoomers, as to what it used to be like. There was great competition between Ronald Reagan and the incumbent Jimmy Carter. I mean, there was competition, you know. I mean, Jimmy Carter, God bless him, Jimmy Carter was not appreciated as president. He was a very, very smart man. But he had such a demeanor, he had such a quiet demeanor, that I don't think he was an effective leader. But Jimmy Carter was an answer to what America wanted after Watergate. After Watergate, after this man, Richard Nixon, who had abused his power, America wanted somebody more demure. And Jimmy Carter perfectly fit that persona. And he became president. Who did he beat? He beat Gerald Ford, who became president after Nixon resigned because Gerald Ford was Nixon's vice president. And by the way, speaking of vice presidents and Gerald Ford, what did Gerald Ford do when he was vice president? You know, Kamala Harris has not been able, one of her failures has been to explain that vice presidents don't really have policies. And she was linked, the Republicans were smart to do this. She was linked to the Biden policies. But she was vice president. What could she do? Vice presidents don't really do anything. It's mostly ceremonial. But Jimmy Carter was an answer to Richard Nixon in Watergate. But Jimmy Carter was so ineffective. He was a one-term president. And Ronald Reagan, who was governor of California, had just great charisma. And even though Ronald Reagan was far from perfect and involved in some controversial things, Ronald Reagan did a lot to unite America. Ronald Reagan also became the president that represented the transition of the baby boomer generation from the radical, wild, liberal, anti-establishment generation of the 60s into conservatives. That generation evolved into being conservatives. And many baby boomers today who were very, very liberal in their youth, they're very conservative today. And that transition started to happen in the 80s, and it was that group, baby boomers, helped put Ronald Reagan in office. So let's go back to the eve of Election Day, the day before the election in 1980, and Ronald Reagan addressed his voters and the nation, and he said, "It is autumn now in Washington, and the residents there say that more than ever during the past few years, Americans are coming to visit their capital. Some say because economic conditions rule out more expensive vacations elsewhere. Some say an election year has heightened their interest in the workings of the national government. Others say something different. In a time when our values, when our place in history is so seriously questioned, they say Americans want their sons and daughters to see what they still want to see in them. And for so many millions in the world, a city that is offering the last best hope of man on earth. You can see these Washington visitors looking at the famous, looking for the famous as they walk through the congressional hallways, as they return silent and tight-lipped from the tour buses that brought them for a walk through the rows of white crosses in the Arlington Cemetery. You can see them as they look up at the towering statue of Jefferson, or out from the top of the Washington Monument, or as they read the words inscribed at the Lincoln Memorial, "Let us bond the nation's wounds." These visitors to that city on the Potomac do not come as white or black, red or yellow. They are not Jews or Christians, conservatives or liberals, Democrats or Republicans. They are Americans, awed by what has gone before, proud of what, for them, is still a shining city on a hill. At this very moment, some young Americans coming along the Virginia and Maryland shores of the Potomac is seeing for the first time the lights that glow on the great halls of our government and the moments to the memory of great men. Let us resolve tonight that young Americans will always see these Potomac lights, that they will always find there a city of hope in a country that is free. Let us resolve that we will say our day and our generation that we did keep faith with our God, that we did act worthy of ourselves, and that, what a time for that to go off. And it was just a stupid survey. Let me just start that part again. And let us resolve. Again, this is Ronald Reagan. This is a contrast to what we heard yesterday on the campaign trail. Ronald Reagan said, "And let us resolve that we will say our day and our generation that we did keep our faith with God, and that we act worthy of ourselves, and that we did protect and pass on lovingly that shining city on a hill." Contrast that to what we heard up to the end of the campaigning yesterday. That is posted on our website, WWL.com, also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, where you can comment on it. And if you want to join us this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back. We got to do the text results. I got all wrapped up in all of that. So we did a different text today. It was a fun text. It was the two big hits by Rick Astley. Which one of the two songs is better? Song A, Never Gonna Give You Up, or Song B, Together Forever? So which one was it, Ian? All right, Never Gonna Give You Up. This was the winning song, Song A. Never Gonna Give You Up, beat Together Forever as the best Rick Astley hit. All right, thanks for participating in the great Tuesday text-off. If you're on hold, hang on. More of your calls and more of your texts coming up next. I'm Scoot on the Air on WWL. And what we're experiencing now is really not America to me. I mean, this is not America. I hope we get back to being America. But we're not America right now. Tucker Carlson has made a connection between abortion rights and hurricanes. He said you can't participate in human sacrifice without consequences. What Tucker Carlson doesn't know is having an abortion at a certain time is not a human sacrifice. And he refers to an abortion as child sacrifice. It's not. It is not legally. It is not medically. Now, Tucker Carlson made these comments on Steve Bannon's War Room show. So that explains a lot. Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, War Room. Tucker Carlson also said the purpose of voting machines is to steal elections from Republicans. Why aren't the Republicans smart enough to get the voting machines to cheat for them? Are Democrats smarter than Republicans? Are Republicans too dumb to cheat at elections? Because we know they would, if they could. I mean, why would just the Democrats cheat? Why don't the Republicans do it? If it's so easy to cheat, why don't Republicans do it? basically Republicans are saying, we're not smart enough. The Democrats are smart enough to figure this out. We can't do it. See, I don't believe that's true. And Tucker Carlson said that he has every reason to be suspicious of electronic voting machines. The problem with him saying that is he's obviously forgotten about what happened to Fox News when Fox News promoted that same concept. Fox News had to pay dearly, close to $1 billion, because Fox News was talking about the Dominion voting machines being biased. And Tucker Carlson is continuing along these lines. It'd be great if Tucker Carlson gets sued, but, you know, he'll probably get away with it. But it doesn't mean that anybody should believe him. Also, I guess you've noticed on all of the news channels, Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, things are getting very, very chippy. They were chippy last night, and they're chippy this morning. And, you know, this has really been an amazing experience. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Baton Rouge. Emmett, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Scoop, for taking my call. I listen to your station all the time. You and Mr. Yule, I think his name is. Different time. Yeah, and you and I are in the same era. I may be a couple of years older than you, but I always listen. You have such a balanced way of viewing things and opinionizing about things in a very fair way. And people who were born and raised in our era, and I'm an old military guy. By the way, I'm an independent. I'm a registered independent who supported Trump the first time. But I'm a military guy as well, and I'm very aware of the things that he did and said, you know, about our military servicemen and women. And, I mean, there's no moral equivalent between Donald Trump and the current Democratic nominee. There's no moral equivalent. Equivalent there. You know what I think about often is the fact that a lot of people who support Donald Trump, I have a feeling for some of them. I mean, I know some of them have an agenda, but most of them don't have an agenda. They're ordinary American citizens with families and everything, and particularly the people I see and be around in the New Orleans, extraterritorial areas, and even when I travel to other states, they're all normal Americans. And we didn't have all this prior to Donald Trump coming in. As I said, I supported him at one time. When I got to studying him, I started to realize what was happening in our society. And actually, this person has studied Stalinism. He studied the Third Reich doctrine. He's been a student of that stuff, and he supports dictators, etc. And really, that's not where we are. There's nothing wrong with talking to these people, but we have a fundamental ethic in America that we stand for. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking about the hundreds of thousands of troops that we have in Europe and other parts of the world that are on guard to stand against Russia and all its axes of evil, the things that they're doing. So my heart goes out to people who support him and his endeavors. He's caused some things in his country, and I'm really sorry to see happening. And I'm feeling more for the people I know, many, many people. In my view, it's not a purely racial thing, although I'm an African-American. I don't look at it like that. I've seen too many soldiers, black and white, particularly from the South, fight and die together. I mean, to me, it's a whole different perspective. So what I'm saying is, it's interesting how people could call in and support things that he's doing and the lies that he's telling about these other people from these other countries. They're mere immigrants, many of them. And they are immigrating to this country for different reasons, primarily to help raise their families. And he's using that as a tool to try to gain power. I find that very distasteful.
Emmett, listen, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate the kind words, and I'm glad that you're tuned in. We have a lot of listeners in Baton Rouge, and thanks for being with us. I would suggest to you that Donald Trump himself has not studied anything. I would suggest to you that Donald Trump is being told things by people like Stephen Miller who have studied those things. But Donald Trump himself, and again, this is just my opinion based on what I know of him and things that he has made public about himself, I don't get the feeling that he's really studied anything, but he is dictated words and concepts from people like Stephen Miller who have studied those things. From Waveland, Dottie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scoop. I wanted to say, first of all, I remember going with my mother for the first time FDR was elected as president. So I've gone through a lot of presidents. But Reagan and Kennedy are two that I think we should mention, because both of them brought up the people of the United States. Kennedy, when he said, let's know what you don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
That's right.
And then the statement you've already replayed about Reagan. Both of those men brought up our people. They were so proud of our country. Today, we're not proud of our country. And that, I don't think the world is proud of us either. But at those times, they were.
Yeah, and well, go ahead, Dottie.
I was going to say, I think that the young people need to have some good people that can bring them up, because we had the Peace Corps, and they young people went out and worked in other countries and all. And I think if we could do something like that again, it would bring us again together rather than tearing us apart.
It would be nice if we can find somebody like that to run for office again. But the candidates are a reflection of the country. And these two candidates reflect who we are as a nation. And I'm embarrassed. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of this country. This is a great country. But I'm embarrassed by this entire election cycle. But we can do better. Let's just live through this. And we will live through this. No matter who wins, we're going to live through this. We'll get through it. And trust me, there will be more to talk about after this election than there has been leading up to the election. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming right back with more of your comments. And I just remind you that this day, Election Day, is about one thing. You have power with your vote. Even in a red state, you've got to exercise your right to vote, even if you know who's going to win the 9 electoral votes of Louisiana. It is important for you to exercise that right as an American. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, so who do you think is going to win the election? You know, there were some predictions from some credible pollsters leading up to the election saying they believe it could be a landslide in the Electoral College. What's going to happen tonight? What are we going to know tomorrow? Tune in tomorrow, and I love that we're going to be live at the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank. Bonvenue Bank, it's on Belchase Highway in Gretna. It's the grand opening. We're going to be there live, and we're going to talk about the election. We'll talk about what this new bank and the grand opening means to Gretna, and I'm excited to be there. Plus, you know, if you get a chance to stop by, it gives me a chance to put a face with the audience. So, you know, I love meeting all of you. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages, and then we're going to get to some of your calls.
Here's a text message that says, excuse me, Scoot, I love you, but I have to disagree with you. If Trump does even a few of the things that he's threatened, the country will never be the same, because this time there are no sensible people in his planned administration to hold him back. People like Vance and Kennedy are more maniacal than Trump is. And that is from Bubbles.
Yeah, well, Bubbles, I do get that. And by the way, you know that that Republican who is with the FCC, he's on the FCC panel. And he was bringing up all of that stuff about, oh, Kamala Harris, it was unfair. It was unfair that she was on Saturday Night Live. The fact that a Republican is on that panel, what Trump is going to do if he wins is he's going to get rid of every Republican. I'm sorry, he's going to get rid of every Democrat. So Joe Biden should have got rid of that guy, kicked him off because he was a Republican. But see, that's not what past presidents have done. They have allowed some people to remain in place even though they were from the other party. What Donald Trump plans on doing is wiping out every Democrat, getting rid of all of them so there are nothing but sycophants and yes people in place. And one thing that scares me is that Donald Trump is going to set things up as president to where it's going to be harder to get him to leave. And he said the other day that he's sorry that he even left office in 2021.
Here's a text that says, I have a Republican friend that believes the theory that Democrats are pushing hurricanes where they want to mine lithium. So today I texted them and I told them, hey, we got a hurricane out in the Gulf getting wound up, just ready to go, depending on who wins.
You know, it's so funny. And really, how unusual is this? You know, again, as I said the other day, you want to start stacking up the reasons for the end of the world coming and all the signs. A hurricane in the Gulf, November the 5th, on Election Day. I mean, this is really kind of crazy. The good news is it's going to meet with shear, and the wind shear is going to kind of knock it down to where it's going to be some thunderstorms wherever it hits, apparently. All right, let's go to the Ninth Ward. Dell, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Hope all is well. Two things I want to touch on. I know you have a lot of people waiting. One, I've heard it said before, and I heard you mention it, that Kamala Harris was just the vice president. She didn't have any type of stroke of power. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I mean, basically, vice presidents are ceremonial positions. I mean, they don't have a lot of power. They're not involved in a lot of policy making. They can support, I guess, the president. I guess they just naturally support the president, but they don't have a lot of policy making power.
So, although I've heard that many, many times in so many debate panels, I'm just waiting on Kamala Harris to reflect that in any debate or anything that she is given from a stage. She doesn't say that.
I agree.
Everything that she mentions, she mentioned as if she was the person that was in a position of making a decision.
And I think that's been a mistake. I think it's been a mistake.
We either need to pick a struggle. Either she didn't have any power, or we need to tell her to reflect that in her statements.
Well,
there's nothing that would hurt her by saying that, hey, I wasn't in a position to make the decision, but here's what I'll do. And I've researched it. She hasn't reflected that in any of her addresses on stage.
I agree with you. But I've said really throughout this process that she's made a mistake in not distancing herself from Joe Biden, because Joe Biden wasn't doing that well against Trump when he was the candidate. So what advantage does she have of being dependent on the policies of Joe Biden? None.
Mm-hmm. So in the last thing, you mentioned when I first got opened up the show and was listening, you said one of the parties was doing something to America. But you didn't specifically say which party it was, nor did you give any specificity as to what the party was actually doing.
Well, I don't remember exactly what I said, so it's going to be hard for me to bring back that. But Dale, I'm glad you called the show. Let's go to West Wego. John, you're on WWL. Hello, John. Okay, let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot.
Yes.
Like tens of millions on both sides, I bit my bottom lip as I voted today. I voted for Trump, and these are two of the weakest candidates I've seen in my lifetime. Now, to my fellow Republicans, if we lose the president election tonight or whenever it's decided, one of the main causes will be January the 6th. Which the Democrats played well, as we would have if it would have been the shoe on the other foot. So let's make sure that there's no shenanigans that can be used against the Republican candidate in 2028. The last thing I'll say, if I have a choice between a Trump president and the Republicans flipping the Senate, I will pick the Republicans flipping the Senate in a second. Let's remember that the Senate approves cabinet positions, department heads, ambassadors, federal judges, including any Supreme Court justice that comes up. They approve top military commanders, including the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So the Senate, and that's what's great about our government, it's the balance of power. The Senate controls a lot of power in government. So if I have a choice, if we flip the Senate Republican, I'll be okay with that.
Irvin, I'm glad you called the show. I like a balance of power, but if there's a balance of power, nothing gets done. I want to mention that Lyft is offering 50% off up to $10 if you get a ride to go vote. So if you need a ride to vote, and by the way, today on Election Day, all of the RTA vehicles, from the ferry to the buses to the streetcar, all of them are free. And Lyft is offering 50% off, up to $10 off, if you need a ride to go vote. All right. I want to remind you, if you haven't voted yet, that when you talk about term limits, remember, every Election Day, you have a chance to administer term limits. The problem is people talk about term limits, but they don't use the power they have to limit the terms by voting out their person, their guy, their woman. You hang on to that person because you think, well, they've got power. Let's hang on to them. They've got seniority. The problem is everybody does that. And we, as the American voters, don't exercise our right to limit terms. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back. All right. We will wrap up the election. We'll talk about what we know tomorrow on the show. Tune in. Join us live from Bonvenue Bank in Gretna. Sports Talk with Bobby, Mike, and Steve coming up next. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hope, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. God bless America. Love you, New Orleans.